Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of In the Chains. I'm going to try something different. Well, same thing to last week, but I thought, I reckon this it's got legs. So I'm going to go on the tee box tonight, all the way from Aston Fields, Birmingham.
It's not Birmingham, but you got the right place.
I get a bite. He's the type of guy you look at and think, is there something a bit wrong with him?
Who?
Thomas Bowen. How you doing?
No one calls me Thomas.
I do. When I'm announcing you onto the tee box.
Oh, I suppose. But yeah, I'm all right. And you?
Yeah, not too bad. We've got the hotly anticipated. I know it's been all over Instagram. It's like a who's done it type thing. We've got a new guest. So on the show and going forward, we're going to be joined with Josh Birmingham. Welcome, Josh. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you, fellas. Thanks for having me.
We've had you on before, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was going to say, you must be mentally insane to want to come on the podcast and
like you said, I've been on before, but I'm an expatriate, basically, from Georgia. Came over with my wife for her job to live in London, which is crazy because it's too expensive here. But yeah, I've been here almost 4 years. I'd played disc golf for maybe 8-9 years or so in the States, just casually with friends. But when I moved here, I kind of fell back in love with the game. Started playing at Croydon pretty much almost every day. And but yeah, I'm now a UK pro. And yeah, sponsored by Team Ace. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Excellent. I think everybody who's listening will have an idea of you. They certainly heard you anyway when we're playing, weren't they? So So obviously we're going to go talking about what you've been doing the last few weeks later on in the show, which is sounds like a hell of a lot. So we're going to try and cover that in 45 minutes. So what have you been up to, Bo? And you done much? Played much?
I played last night.
Oh yeah.
So, you good? Yeah. Yeah, it was all right. It weren't too bad. I'll tell you what, I recovered a disc from Quarry Park. Do you remember I bought it? What is it?
The top news, yeah.
It's a what the hell is it now? Excalibur. So it's an Innova Excalibur.
Yeah.
Real meat hook of a disc, like. Yeah. And the day I bought it was the day I lost it.
Oh, right.
And I've discovered my forehand again with it.
Oh, brilliant.
So I got one to go like 100 odd meters.
Now you've actually improved a little bit with the backhand. We're going to take a backward step and go back to just trying to hammer everything as far as you can forehand with no form.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it because we're playing tomorrow, aren't we?
Well, yeah, we're playing tomorrow.
We'll be Tuesday, recording on a Monday. So yeah, we're playing tomorrow. We're meeting up with Dennis and a couple of other guys at Quarry Park. So that should be fun. I haven't really played much. Played Essex last.
We've already spoke about that.
Yeah, we've already spoke about that, but I haven't played since. Been busy, man. I've been busy.
What you been doing? Busy doing nothing.
Yeah, basically working it. You know what I'm like? Work. I'm always working.
Flat out, ain't you?
With my condensed hours.
I don't know how you fit it all in.
Yeah, well, that's it. I don't know how I fit it in, Bowen, either. So that's basically it, really. We've had pretty much a quiet week. So we haven't got tons to talk about in this segment of the show, but I don't know whether you want to, because obviously we were going to talk to Josh a lot more after the news in the main segment and break down, like I said, what he's been doing the last couple of weeks. So do you want to move on to the news and we'll try and push through and we'll give us a bit more time to talk at the end?
Yeah, I ain't got a lot to cover in the news, honest. So it's going to be a fast one today.
So let's start with Bowen's fake news. Let's go.
Yeah, we concentrate. We need Josh to sort of bulk it out a bit this week, don't we? So,
yeah.
Right. I'm going to start off with well done to Team GB, scoring a silver medal in the team champs. Like,
just a quick one on that. I'm sure I read somewhere that Team GB's captain was like, is it American or?
Yeah, I read that. I struggled to figure that out. How did he get to go to the European champs as well?
Surely there's players in Great Britain who could have been a better captain. At least they'd have been from Britain.
Two best words in the English language, default, you know? So, enough people dropped out and they were just like, oh, should we give this asshole a chance?
Josh, we've asked everybody else, believe us, but is there any chance you could do us a favor?
Yeah, so how did you get selected anyway? How did it happen?
Why wasn't we selected?
Yeah.
Doing well, a successful podcast.
You have to be able to play disc golf at, you know.
That's the reason. You know,
just a little bit, you know. Not completely trash, but, you know, I... Not kidding.
Cheers, Josh.
No, you're not.
No, I'll take it easy on you guys. Yeah, but no, I think...
You're a pro, aren't you?
So what?
You're a pro, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, I thought you played in the MPO division, but I look at the top of the sort of the leaderboards in the MPO division. I just don't never see your name. That's the only thing.
Hey, I'm the current BDGA points leader right now, which right. I don't know.
Did you play enough tournaments? That's why I'm qualifying for MA3, is because I played enough tournaments. So by default, I picked up enough points.
If they give you the chance, you got to take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I think I got picked because it turns out I had the most experience of the people that were left going, which is, you know, kind of sad. But I think COVID had a lot to do with it. And like, you know, a lot of people backed out, James, the O'Briens, all those type of people. So, you know, just kept trickling down to the next person to see, you know, who's available. And at the end of it, I was the most experienced, which is pretty crazy, but it was really fun, really humbling. So, yeah.
That sounds pretty cool. I mean, what you're saying about COVID, I remember speaking to you as you were leaving Czech Republic and going to Croatia, and you were saying that you stopped at the border and turned away and you had to go to, is it Slovenia you had to go to?
Yeah. We were kind of crossing through. I don't know if our driver wanted to go through like a big checkpoint. So he's tried to sneak through Slovenia and get us through because we didn't have any COVID tests from that week to get into Croatia, which I don't know why we didn't think about that. But we were riding with Charlie Mead, who's like runs the WIF Diff and the event we were going to for the, you know, European teams. And he seemed to think it'd be all right. So we get there. And of course, you know, more and more a little like police came over and start chatting. We're like, oh, this isn't good. And then we all get pulled out of the van and, you know,
hands on the bonnet of the car sort of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Spread them, you know, the drill.
Yeah.
But,
not being an American.
Yeah. So we ended up having to like basically turn back around, go back in Slovenia. But it was like a bank holiday weekend there or something. So it was like 6 p.m. No hotels were open. No hospitals open to get tests. We were basically just going to have to sleep in the shuttle that we had rented. But we called the organizer of the event because the place we were playing was only like 20 minutes across the border. So, you know, a friend of a friend ended up finding us a really nice big rental house that we could just stay at for the night for like 35 quid a pop. And so it all worked out in the end, but yeah, it was a little bleak there for a moment. Like a huge storm was coming through and we're just sitting in this gas station parking lot and the rain and wind just, you know.
That's part of the story though, isn't it? And like traveling and stuff like that happening. That's all part of like what you then go back and you tell people like, oh yeah, remember when we did that? And it's like, makes it part of the trip, doesn't it? A little bit, I always think.
Yeah, it was really fun, actually, in the end, because like I said, the place was really nice. And actually had aircon in like one of the rooms, so I picked that one because Americans can't sleep without aircon, you know.
And you're the captain as well, weren't you? So
yeah, and we ended up playing poker there and like made some good bolognese and just kind of chilled, which was kind of nice because we played disc golf for I don't know 5-6 days in a row on like the biggest course I've ever been on. So it's kind of a good thing that we didn't get to play for those 2 days and kind of take a break. But yeah, we eventually got in and everything worked out. So
cool. So basically the police were trying to stop you from getting in because I knew you had a good shot at the title.
That's probably what it was.
It's Brexit, man. They just hate us. Yeah. They hate it. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Well, well done anyway. So that's enough blown smoke up your ass for one show. So there's a exciting new event coming to Amesbury, to the Amesbury course near Stonehenge on Saturday, 16th of October. Full details will be released over all social media by the end of next week. There's going to be limited places and it'll be on a first come, first served basis. So that's news. We've got the Arrow Valley Disc Golf Club. They've just announced the Forge Mill Classic on the 5th of September. That's at Arrow Valley, and that'll be 6 weeks.
Have a week without you mentioning Arrow Valley.
Got to mention them, they're my boys, ain't they?
It's like they're paying you to talk about it.
Yeah, they are. I got free membership, didn't I? I didn't. I had to pay for membership. So the 5th of September at Arrow Valley, £6 for two rounds of competitive disc golf. So get signing up. And then we've got Clash of the Cotswolds, which has been announced and is...
Are you going to it?
To what?
The Arrow Valley one.
Me?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know why.
But you said competitive disc golf.
Yeah, but it I'll stay away then.
Go on.
Right, stop interrupting you.
Sorry, it's all showing off.
Yeah, you are, yeah. Clash of the Cotswolds on the 19th of September at Cotswold View. Sign up for that now. It's event's gone. Open. What?
Already closed.
It closed?
Sold up, yeah.
This Did is it fill what up?
I mean, they sold out in about 2 hours.
Oh, I don't fucking pay attention.
So the time you've actually picked this topic to write down, which
I wrote it down as soon as it came out.
No, you didn't. No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I did.
You've done it about 2 weeks before the show.
No, so I did it.
Point, it's already closed, and we're giving out details on how to enter the tournament.
Okay, don't enter. It's sold out, but that's the 19th of September.
It will be.
That's every tournament these days, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I keep talking to a lot of the older guys who play, and they're all not necessarily older guys, just ones that have been playing for sort of 6-7 years, and they're saying like, oh, it's weird because like you used to have like tournaments where you'd have like 30 people turn up and like only half filled sort of thing, and now it's like it's filling up and like I say, it's selling out within like 2 hours, and yeah. It's mental. It's like, and this is one of the things, like obviously I'm sure at some point we'll go back and we'll talk about stuff like this, is sort of the, you know, that boundary limit where you can only have so many tournaments per 100 miles or 150 miles or something like that. I feel like you can get away with that in America, but like in the UK, it's such that covers such takes out so many courses. I feel like that's got to sort of be addressed, really, because I feel like you could easily have a tournament in London, a tournament up in the Midlands on the same day and fill it. So it's
do you
not
think
like...
you would? Do you think that you there is enough sort of people wanting to do them that you could fill up two full events? Well, that's 140 people, isn't it?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah, I think if you did that, it's probably okay, but you probably wouldn't be able to do like tour points, you know, for BDGA or something like that, whereas people can make a decision and maybe do more of an amateur tournament and then more of a pro tournament. I don't know, but yeah,
I think that's going to be coming anyway, though, Josh. So
yeah,
I mean, we spoke about this as well, but I'd quite like to have the MPO. On a separate tournament,
standalone, you
know, to go and watch, sort of thing. Like, if say, I mean, I wouldn't be traveling down to London to watch it, but if there was a big tournament, say at Quarry Park, and I could watch the MPO division and have
Arrow Valley,
and just like follow the league card, I think that'd be pretty cool. I'd quite like, and I think you'd get quite a few people going to watch it as well.
Yeah, you would.
And
charge them a couple of quid for entry if it's a quarry bar.
The thing is, though, it sort of makes that elite level more special then, rather than, and it's sort of it gives sort of there's more inspiration to sort of do better because you want to get to that level where perhaps people do come and watch it. And do you know what I mean? Like a bit like the Pro Tour in America. And I think yeah, that would be
Like finals now, right? Because like everyone gets done playing and then they'll go watch the last bit of it. But yeah, like I watched the finals, the final round at the European Championships, and that was the first time I'd seen like any pro golfers in person. And I was kind of freaking out when I saw Simon Lazada a little bit. I was like, oh my God, he's a real person.
What were the top pros like, Josh? Were they good?
Oh my God. So if you go back and look at the scores, like I didn't even make the cut and I played even through three rounds, which was my goal. But these guys, if you don't count the finals, cause I didn't play in that, I got beat by like 30 strokes over three rounds. So it's just like, we're all in the MPO, but like some of us actually don't belong, you know, those are the real pros. And that was like, I've never been beat so bad in my life. So it was really cool though. And you know, kind of shows you what you need to work on. And that's being able to throw a mile, which is impossible.
Yeah. Especially with little arms like me and you have got.
But yeah, I mean, I would love to have a pro event like that and actually just film it, you know, as well. So, but yeah.
Because, I mean, I watched, obviously didn't make the finals. I watched the MPO card at Quarry. And I really enjoyed watching it. And because you see, because obviously they're throwing different lines, especially on like, for instance, like hole 17. There was like three different approaches at the four or five shots. And it's just good to see, because I mean, I can't reach the green from there. And it's nice to see the different sort of the shots are different, how much better they are at putting. You can sort of pick up techniques and little bits and bobs like that off them as well. So I think it's really useful, but I think it will get to that at some point. It's just when that is, I think. But yeah, so what else you got then, Bowen? Any more Arrow Valley news?
Yeah, loads of Arrow Valley. No, just basically the Pro Tour over in the US, it was a quiet week, but the main event I found was the Delaware Disc Golf Challenge, and it was won by Nico LoCastro.
All good.
Yeah, your favourite player. He throws the best discs as well, doesn't he? Westside, we decided that last week, didn't we?
I don't know, because you've been really busy. I don't know, you probably haven't had a chance to listen to the show from last week.
No. I caught up.
You did, okay. What do you think?
Westside was like number 9?
The bottom one, yeah.
10. Was it 9?
It was out of 9. It was finished. Oh, Westside at the bottom. What do you think about the overall...
I definitely agree, and I wish I'd have been around to kind of split the tiebreaker live, but I'm an innovative man through and through. Sorry, Bowen. They're just better. I mean, not really, but they've been around, and I feel like they're just the more classic company.
Yeah.
Do you not like the way Discraft are sort of disrupting the whole thing and bringing in quality discs and things?
Well, you know... if they're round and plasticky, I think, you know, pretty much they'll all do, right? I definitely prefer the Innova stuff, but like one of my favorite discs is the Zone, and any plastic, you know, it's my staple go-to disc. If I was going to get a signature disc, which is impossible, that's what I would go for. But other than that, I'm pretty much Innova disc mania, which in my mind is still the same, even though now they're doing their own thing.
They're trying, Junior.
It's interesting as well that you see a lot of a lot of the ultimate players that come over, because they're used to throwing the Ultra Star, they tend to gravitate towards Discraft. And also a lot of the newer players, like ourselves, really. I mean, I'm a bit of an exception to the rule, obviously.
You hate Discraft, don't you?
But like people who've watched Joe and Sim Paul McBeth at the top of the leaderboard for so long, and like he's won every tournament that you go back on. Jomez, he's winning everything, and like you kind of feel like that's pulled a lot of the newer players to Discraft, where a lot of the people who have been playing for 5+ years tend to be more innova.
I guess you guys weren't playing when Paul was with Innova, because it must have been like a year or two before you guys started.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and that's to me why I think it was better, because basically when Paul went to Discraft, he was just like, look, you guys are going to make me all the molds that I used to throw with this company, and we're going to call it something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I kind of think that was a little bit of it.
But. What else you got in, Baron?
That was it, really. I can't remember if it finished off, but it was a crappy event anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
So are we not going to have the FPO winner?
I didn't catch them.
No, it doesn't matter about the FPO, does it?
That's yeah, of course it does, but there weren't any big names in it, so... If you want to give me a second, I can find it for you.
I think it was Missy.
Was it Missy? So there were some big names in there.
do you fancy doing the news next week?
I could be wrong. I'm actually looking it up right now.
Has Missy Gannon won a load recently?
Yeah, she's done well. I don't know if she's won.
No,
I'm so wrong. It's Elaine King.
Oh, Elaine King? Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, there we go. So Elaine King, yeah. Well done, Elaine.
MVP. Yeah. Elaine King's MVP, isn't she? Yeah, I think she is.
Wait a minute.
There you go. Backs up.
You ain't done a me, and you've chose the wrong tournament, have you?
Yeah, well, it's called the Delaware Disc Golf Challenge, and I thought that's what we were talking about, but that's not happening till the 27th.
Well, what's going on with this?
right.
The results out. We're also giving the name of the wrong bloody tournament out.
Am I? Wait there.
Sorry, guys.
Delaware Disc Golf Challenge.
Are we both? Are we crazy? What's going on?
So, we have. What's the right tournament? What is the right?
There wasn't one. There was the Brent Hambrick Memorial, which was an A-tier event, but it was won by Bradley Williams. So,
I don't know when this is. I appreciate. I'm going to take probably flat for this because I haven't got the correct details. But there was a match play tournament drawn up, wasn't there? Have you seen the lineup for that? It's a match play bracket, and it's being played 17th and 18th of September. But
is it a proper event?
Yeah, proper event. It's Disc Golf Match Play Championship, sponsored by Discmania. So the first bracket is, so this is the MPO. We've got Eagle versus Chris Clemens, James Conrad versus Adam Hammes, Paul Macbeth versus Gavin Rathbun, Carl Klein versus Joel Freeman, Calvin versus Double G, Kevin Jones versus Drew Gibson, Ricky Wysocki versus Chris Dickerson, Nico LoCastro versus Ezra. So that's the MPO. And the FPO brackets are Paige versus Dean Carey. Or Deanne Carey, sorry. Sound like you, Bone. Sarah Hocum versus Jessica Weiss. Always get that wrong.
Weiss.
Yeah, like geese, but with a W.
Weiss. I always thought it was Weiss.
No. She's not German.
You Americans say things weird.
Missy Gannon versus Kona Panis and Katrina Allen versus Hayley King. So I think that'll be a cool tournament to watch, I think. It's a bit the like
stuff where you got the match. The FPO seems a bit spicier than the MPO, to be honest.
Yeah, there's some, but obviously once they get through the brackets,
they'll be playing, yeah.
You've got sort of the better players getting through playing each other. And I think that'll make for some really good viewing, I think.
Yeah.
This is in Hellertown, Pennsylvania.
Is that somewhere you've been?
Can you enlighten us on that, or?
I'd have never heard of this place.
I thought this is who brought you on the show for the American knowledge.
America's too big. Hellertown.
So I thought you was going to bring that up in the news, but obviously it's not important enough.
You know how organized I am, mate.
Okie doke. So well done. What a brilliant news section that was.
Fell apart then.
I reckon
it?
That was probably one of your best.
I'd say one of the worst.
well, let the listeners decide. Okie doke. So let's move on to the main topic and why a lot of people probably will want to listen to the show. So we'll move on to the main topic and we'll start talking to Josh about what's happened the last couple of weeks. So Josh, I think it was July? You went to America and you played quite a big tournament there, Battle of Boomtown.
Yeah, the Battle of Boomtown 4 in Canton, Georgia, which is basically kind of the foothills of the Georgia mountains. So it's not mountains, but it's very hilly, lots of elevation, like a couple hundred feet elevation on a couple of these holes. But it's mostly you're throwing downhill, which is like the fun of the event. So it's
is that the Appalachian Mountains?
Yeah, that's where they begin. Yeah.
Yeah. So all that, Bowen, for knowledge.
Well done, yeah. Because you got the Appalachian Trail, haven't you? That's quite famous, isn't it?
That's not the Appalachian Mountains, though.
Is it not?
No, of course it is. Bloody hell, Bowen.
What a fucking man.
I knew he'd fall for that one. Yeah, so that was, you were on the lead card with that one as well, weren't you?
I wouldn't say lead card, but they put me on feature card because I'd won MA1 last year with, like, you know, 80 person field, which was really good for me at the time. And but yeah, so for that, and then Ace sponsored a hole to kind of get me early registration to kind of guarantee my spot since I was traveling so far. But yeah, they just kind of said, you know, since you're traveling and since you've sponsored a hole and you won last year, would you want to be on feature card? And I should have said no, but it's always fun and a lot of extra pressure when there's cameras around. But I was with the two highest rated disc golf brothers on the card. So each of them are like 10, 20 something. Yeah. And then this guy, Jojo Bonet, who's really nice. I don't know if he's played a lot recently, but I at least beat him, which is good. But I think I still got beat on that round by like 14 strokes by the guy that eventually won, Ezra Robinson.
14 strokes on a round?
Yeah. So basically half a shot a hole. But it's 27 holes, so it's a little less.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little credit. But
What was the course like there? Was that a bomber course or was it technical?
Yeah, it's all open. It's on a ball golf course.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I mean, if you hit a tree out there, you've done something really wrong.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
Yeah. I mean, there is one to hit. But yeah, it's just as far as you can throw it, but you kind of have to control it, the angle, because it's, you know, like I said, it's mostly downhill. But if you like to watch disc fly, it's the best tournament. It's just amazing. You can throw a putter 500 feet and, like, you know.
I mean, Have you played Essex, the University of Essex course?
No.
Oh, you've not played that?
No.
There's a hole there that goes over the road, and that was just so nice to just watch the disc just fly, and it just felt like it was flying for about a minute.
Yeah.
And I really love throwing it off that hole, off that
tee. Like, what the pros feel like on flat ground, I think.
Yes. Yeah, basically. Yeah. but yeah, so you've come back from that. You spent a month, was it about a month in America you spent? Yeah. And then you come back, you went over to the European Open, rather, 2 weeks ago with a whole host of British players. So I know Rachel Turton had a lot of exposure. She went over there. Parslow went over. Charlie Mead went over. Dell from Quarry Park went over. Noah went over.
Zoe and
Willie Woodward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did we miss anyone?
I think that's everybody, isn't it?
Ian McDougall.
Who would miss somebody? How could we forget Ian?
He's the man. He's the man.
How could we forget Ian? And you went over to that, and obviously, such a big tournament. It's the biggest one in Europe, isn't it? The European Open.
Yeah, it actually was the European Disc Golf Championships.
Yeah. And
Duffy was wrong. Wait, Duffy was wrong.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to edit this out because you've got someone else in.
No, but what was I wrong about? Because
you said European Open, but it's European Disc Golf Championships.
Oh, I thought it was European Open. So, okay. No. I'll accept it. I'll always accept when I'm wrong.
You always edit out when you're wrong.
That's a myth. and it was at Connor Peace Day. Is that right?
Peace Day? Yeah. What a dream.
Yeah.
When
we had Vanessa on, I think it was the first time, I asked her what her favorite course was that she's played in the world. And Connor Peace Day was her number one favorite course.
Yeah. It makes sense because, you know, not everyone can play it. It's a temporary course. I think they have smaller courses like just in the area, but like as far as playing on the actual castle grounds and those holes specifically, it's all temporary. So, you know, it's once a year. And I heard that this may have been the last one. Rumor has it. So it's just a big thing.
For what reason?
I hadn't talked to anyone officially about it, but I just hear it's just a ton of work to pull off, a lot of volunteers and, you know, I just don't know. And I think UC actually designed that course in the beginning.
Of Discmania Heritage.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of the commentary, didn't he, on the men's rounds?
Yeah, he's perfect for that because obviously he knows all the holes like the back of his hand.
Yeah. So obviously we had a really good showing, I thought. Obviously Rachel took a lot of the headlines being on the feature card, and she did so well. I know you watched, it was about 7 or 8 holes. You could see you and Noah in the background sort of lending some support when she was playing.
We were just trying to get on camera, really.
What's that, sorry?
We were just trying to get on camera, really.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. No. In fact, you've actually got a face for podcast, haven't you, Josh?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the rest of us. We had, Rachel did exceedingly well. Charlie obviously won. I think, am I right in saying that Charlie's won at every division level now?
I believe he has. That was his 5th time winning. And I think, yeah, maybe 65s, 60s.
40.
I guess. Yeah.
We found out Americans can count back, Duffy.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody said that Charlie had now won at every level.
Yeah,
but that could be wrong information. That could be Bowen information. But either way, like Charlie's done very well to win his division. Dell's division looked quite a tough division, I thought, by the scores.
Yeah, he was, I think, one of the highest, if not the highest, in his division as far as rating goes. So he was kind of disappointed with his play, but I went and caddied for him for like 6 or 7 holes, and the course is, you know, Konopiste is big, but the Meadows was a little smaller, but we all assumed, you know, Masters guys, it's going to be a little dinky course, but there was a lot of par fours, a lot of big open shots, and so distance isn't really Dale's game. He's just very accurate, and like I believe he was saying his putting was off a little bit, so you know, he would have liked to have done a lot better, and then I think he could on a better day. But
yeah. One of the main events that everybody was talking about over here is obviously Parslow's ace on 13. Did you talk about that much? Or
well, to be fair, he really didn't. I mean, he was kind of texting it while it happened, you know, on the team ace chat and stuff, and. Yeah, it was really cool. It's like one of the few holes you can reach out there, like one of the par threes. Yeah. And he throws a lot of understable stuff because he's coming from the ultimate world, but he's got just so much control with him as well. Like I've never seen anyone throw him that good. And so I think he threw a heat, which is, you know, just crap boy. Yeah. But yeah, I can only imagine. It was like a nice backhand turnover with a little bit of height just falling in the basket. I'm sure it was beautiful. I wish I'd seen it.
I've seen the hole, and I can kind of picture how it might have gone in on a righty backhand. But that's got to be pretty something to write home about, hasn't it? Especially sort of your first European big championship tournament like that as well.
Were there many aces for the whole tournament? Were there?
I think someone else may have aced 13. I'm not exactly sure, but I think maybe there was only 3 for the week.
Yeah, that's
pretty nice.
Yeah, and obviously yourself, you missed out on, is it 3 places you missed out on the cup by?
Yeah, I think it was 4 places in the end, which is kind of strange because going into it, I didn't really have any expectations. Obviously, looking at the list of ratings and players, you know you're not going to win it straight away. But, you know, so that kind of took the pressure off in a big way. And then I just wanted to shoot even for the week. That was my original goal. And unfortunately, it's about 4 strokes, not enough to get into the cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot of us, after a subpar round, that's backwards. It wasn't subpar. But you know those strokes that you've lost and that could have had. And it's, you know, I think going back, I could probably shoot at least 5 under each round. But, you know, that's everything going well. And then shooting like 12, 14s, you know.
So were you happy
overall, or
I mean, you can't not be happy playing that course and with those people, and then you know, the environment at the hotel where all the teams are staying, you know, you get to know everyone and everyone's just so nice and wants to have a good time. And so it was a great experience. I hope they do it again.
Would it be like, is it always, I know you were saying that it might be changing. Has it always been at kind of Peach Day, is it? Or
I'm not actually sure if the championships are always there, because I know they have just the Kona Peach Day open. I think that's been like the main thing, but I don't know.
Because I mean, obviously Noah played as well. Off the top of my head, did he finish about 17th, or am I making, have I got that wrong?
Yeah, and the juniors, I can't remember.
But I think, obviously, the holes there, especially in the men's, I'm not sure where the tee pads were for the women's, whether they were pretty much the same or not, I'm not sure. But the distances on the holes seemed massive, and it's not something that we sort of have, that we can really practice here that well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of our chat, like kind of after the rounds, was, you know, we've never had to throw 500 feet twice on a hole and try to park the basket to get a birdie. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. Like, the biggest courses here, maybe Bluebell, and even that's not like really close. I think this was like, you know, probably a third bigger than any course we have here.
Jesus. What's the takeaway for you? So you've come away, you're happy with how you've played, but you've seen that there's a bit of a gap between you and sort of the elite at the top of the level. So what's the difference? Is it putting? Is it distance? Is it?
I think it's, for me personally, I don't throw the farthest, but you know, I could put in the landing zone of most of those holes where you want to be, 500 plus feet, given a little bit of elevation or, you know, whatever. And, it's just one of those things. You have to be able to throw 500 plus and then also land in a specific spot. And if you were out of position on the next one, birdie was gone because it took another full throw, you know? So if you didn't have the opportunity to kind of get a run up, or like you were like halfway in a bush, like you were just done. So
yeah,
but my putting was all right, you know, 11th out of 100 in circle two, but that's because I was always in circle two on the approach. it's that was the better part of my game, I think, and the driving. But yeah, the upshots for me from like, I call them upshots, but you know, 250 feet or so, 70, 80 meters, when you're trying to approach with a little bit of elevation, it gets a little tricky because you're like, well, I can't quite reach it with this zone and I don't want to like try too hard and yank it. And so I would go up like a fairway and then it would fade out early, you know, circle's edge or so. And then, like I said, you're just always in circle two looking at a putt. So
yeah,
I think that was the hardest part.
I talked to Vanessa Van Dyke and quite a bit on sort of Instagram. Most sort of weeks we sort of have a chat. Well, she actually sent me a message. We wasn't talking at this point, but she sent me a message saying, I've just seen there's a girl from Great Britain, Rachel Turton, who's doing really well at the European Disc Golf Championships. Got it right that time. And like, you ought to get her on the show. And I was like, yeah, we've already had Rachel on the show. She's like a great girl and everything. But I sent that message, like sort of forwarded that message to Rachel. And it's nice because you can see how much exposure like you can get from something like that. And like you do well at something like that, and everybody's sort of ears are pricked and it's like, oh, what's this? So like,
who's a prick?
I mean, we're to work with. we call Rachel Triple T now, top 10 turts, you know.
Top 10 turts. So
she's like the shining star of the trip, I think, in my mind. You know, I went, like you said, you saw us on the feature card coverage, walking around trying to give her some support. But we were playing, I don't know, about an hour and a half after that, so we couldn't really caddy for her. But then I went back, caddied for her on day two, I believe. And, you know, as good as she did, I think there was a lot of nerves and stuff. She was doing things like she would normally do, like, you know, a few putts here and there would kind of get awry and like get away from her. But I mean, overall, I kept telling her, you know, keep your head up. You're in 10th place right now. You can finish in 10th. Like, this is going to be great. So it was day three I was caddying for. So,
I mean, yeah. What amazed me, I mean, we watched this sort of the footage they filmed, obviously, the first 18 that she was on the feature card with. And what amazed me is, like, you could see how nervous she was, which is completely understandable, but how well she dealt with that, because I would have been absolutely in bits. Like, there's no way I would have played well under those conditions. So,
yeah, like, it's just all you can do to throw the disc on the first tee, just to, like, you feel like you're frozen, kind of. And she went up, threw an all right shot. I think she kind of fluffed it a little bit, but then puts it on the basket, taps in a par. And I'm pretty sure that round everyone parred that hole. So it's like, once you see those guys or those girls also putting up par, you're like, oh, cool. Well, I'm right there. Like, no harm, no foul. Let's move on. But she can throw really far. So it's like, she definitely had some big drives, biggest drives on her card I saw a lot of times.
Yeah. Nice. And then obviously, so you finish there. Some of the guys and girls come home. And some people come out and met you. I think Adam Keane, did he come out too?
Yep, Keane, filled in Simon Luard.
Simon Luard,
Bella Tate,
Bella, that was my first time meeting her. She was great as well. She's a great throw of the disc as well, like distance-wise. Just sweetheart of a person as well. I've been looking forward to meeting her for a little while because I'd seen her putting up good numbers here in the UK and was just like, okay, well, this is the next you know, good female player we're going to have as well. So her and Turton together, that would have been really good.
Yeah. So you traveled, you're saying, by minibus, like a minibus coach type thing, was it?
Yeah, it was like a 8-person van or something.
Oh, okay. So like a people carrier type thing.
Yeah, basically. And there's Croatian
A minivan.
I was going to say it, but, you know, I don't know if you know that.
So you went via minivan to... So how long was that drive? You're talking about 8 to 10 hours.
It was six to 8 hours. We went through the Alps, which was really cool, through Austria, the corner of Slovenia. But yeah, we had Charlie Mead, me, Noah, and Matt Parslow. That was it, and the driver. So it was pretty spacious. But yeah, beautiful drive through the Alps. And, like, you know, you stop at the gas station, get out, and you're just surrounded by mountains. But the worst thing about it was everywhere we stopped, you had to, like, pay, like, 50p or, like, a euro to go to the toilet. And, like, none of us... No one had any cash, and I was just like, using my southern charm, I was like, excuse me, I don't speak Austrian, can I just go pee? And they're like, looking at me crazy. I like show them my wallet, and like, I have every type of cash except a coin, and they're just like, just go, God. I'm peeing back behind the gas station in the woods, so it's up to you.
I always remember we went on a school trip to France, and everybody got off to the school, off the coach, and some people come back from the toilet and they went, you've got to go and see the toilet. The toilet's missing. It's not there. There's just a hole in the ground. I was like, no. Oh. And everybody went to the toilet. There's like about 30 lads went to the toilet. It was all looking at this hole in the ground. Like, and it's like, then if people are like, French people must have thought, fucking English.
Is that the one you have to like squat on the thing?
Pissing shit into the ground, into a hole.
Yeah,
what, you have to shit in a hole as well.
Yeah,
I mean, never heard of that. Is it
basically the yoga pants? I don't know how people do that. Like, how do old people do that? Like, what? I don't get it.
Oh, it's good, man. Yeah,
it's hard enough for me. Like, I experienced that in Thailand. I was just like, whoa.
How old are you, Josh?
This is a good game. Guess.
He's older than me, I would say.
You're not gonna hurt my feelings.
Not
is he older than us?
30.
I think I am.
36 or 37, I would say.
Well, you got the eyes. Am I meant to guess?
Go on.
I'll go 35.
You're just being nice. But yeah, 36. Well, I'm 35. So you actually, Bowen, you do win. I'll be 36 in December.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so
you're moving up to the Masters soon.
That was my little segue into, well, it's not a segue, but that's me talking about my little trip to France when I was at school. That's my claim to fame. Obviously, you crossed the border. You had a bit of trouble there, we spoke about. You've got to Croatia. You set up camp and you have... So what was the sort of the style of play for the team championships that you captained?
Yeah, so it was a match play event. So every round was match play. It was a round robin, but there were only five teams. So I think it was like meant to be a couple more, but like as the weeks got closer, it just more and more people dropped out, whether it be COVID or, you know, what have you. I'm not really sure. I think Finland pulled out. They had to finish nationals the following week. Slovenia pulled out. I don't really know why, because they're just next door. But yeah, lots of people pulled out. So it only ended up being five teams in total, which was, you know, kind of good for us because we're not the most experienced team this year. Like I said, you know, a lot of the top guys that would have gone kind of pulled out. But yeah, you had two sets, or a set of doubles and a set of singles playing on the card. So you had six people on each card. And that would be, you know, maybe four different teams. So kind of each country would kind of keep everyone else in check versus like on footfault calls and things like that. So, but yeah, it'd be a round robin. So every team plays every team at some point for the first round and then kind of regroup like the seedings. And I think GB came in seeded three. So kind of right in the middle, which, you know, was kind of expected. But yeah, France and Austria were the top two going into it. And didn't work out so good for France. I think they ended up taking fourth out of five. And Croatia squeaked into third because Austria just beat up on France for them. I think they needed to go 8-0 for them to make it, for Croatia to make the three. So they were really excited. And as the home team, they played that course quite a bit. But yeah.
So what you're saying is they had home field advantage. Otherwise, any other course, they'd have lost terribly. Is that what you're saying?
I think it was the Austrian advantage for them because it was kind of out of their hands at, you know, that point. They were just sitting four until Austria took care of business against France. So, yeah. But yeah, I think it does help a little bit. But it's the Drava Forester course, which I don't know if you guys have seen any coverage of that.
I haven't seen that. No.
There's like a nice Philo ace. From like he's like in front of this arena on top of the stairs, and that's like hole three for us. But apparently it's like only half the course was set up that way. So I think we played a few new holes that they had kind of made for this event. But they're actually holding world teams there next year. So it's kind of, I think they're gonna expect like 20, 25 teams. COVID pending, you know, obviously, but so that was kind of a preview for world teams, which will kind of give us an advantage, hopefully, if it's set up similarly.
Yeah.
I was going to ask,
is the plan to take a team over to that as well? So, that's answered that. So, it certainly definitely give you an advantage. Obviously, I haven't played the course over the other countries in Europe that perhaps might not have played the course already. Did many of the people travel from kind of PGA to the Croatia tournament? Did you see it, or was it almost a complete set of new players?
Yeah, a lot of the teams, it was mostly the same players. And then, you know, started talking to people in Croatia. And I was like, oh, yeah, I actually talked to you at the hotel. I'm just now realizing that's the same person. So, yeah, made a lot of new friends and, you know, getting to hang out with for two weeks, you know, with those people, it's, you know, make some good friendships, and it's cool to have connections like that in Europe. And if you go traveling or something, they can show you their home course or, you know, whatever, you have a place to stay, and, you know, everyone's really, really nice and accommodating. So,
yeah, I think that we've said it before loads of times on the podcast, but I think that comes with the type of people that play disc golf that tend to be that sort of person, like, yeah, come and play. Oh, yeah, you like that? Keep that disc, and like, and all this sort of that sort of attitude of person. And I think that's what was said a lot of times with like the sort of the commercialization of the game. You don't want that aspect to go away. But
Unspoken part of disc golf. What's that, Bo?
I was gonna say we're a serious podcast here. Do you have any funny stories about fellow compatriots whilst away?
Yeah, not really. You know, we're all trying to perform to our, you know, best ability. And, you know, we had a few beers, you know, every night after the rounds, just when, you know, your card mates that you'd met that day and you kind of want to go buy them a beer and kind of have a chat and without all the stress of the round or, you know, the competitiveness of it.
What you got to remember, Bowen, is you're not asking me and you.
Lagerlouts.
If we made a tit of ourselves, we're talking about professionals here.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Noah going to bed at like 9:30, and then me and the other guy that was staying with us, like, kind of stumbling in about 11, just, you know, trying to be quiet. And
I'd be at 3 o'clock in the morning every night, always.
I can imagine. Noah going to bed and like reading a book and just God, those lads down there need to keep it down. And he's like 18. I can imagine Noah being like that.
So Boye, the Team Innova Iceland manager, kind of got his spot last minute for Masters and didn't have a place to stay. So he and I were kind of staying up a little later in the room, and I think Noah was kind of unhappy with us the first night, and then we kind of corrected off that. So no turning the lights on when you come in. You know, I was just like flashlight on the phone, like hovering around, like looking for your toothbrush, and yeah.
Well, that's the worst. It sounds like you had a really good time anyway. So and you did the business. You finished second. So
did you get a medal?
No medal. We won a silver medal. I don't know if maybe they were waiting to see what team won and how many we needed. So the verdict's still out, but no.
That's the Europeans for you, though.
Very half soaked, very lax. Yeah.
I don't know. But we got introduced, you know, as the silver medalist, and like Austria obviously won gold and the big cheer, and then Team GB, and it was like.
Should they even be allowed in European tournaments?
Yeah.
They don't want to be part of this.
I do need to give a shout out to Florian Corlam, who was there with Bella, her boyfriend, and he was 1,000 rated caddy for the week, and actually was awarded Spirit of the Game for the week by, I think, a few of the teams. So he was the only individual to be called out other than one of the Austrian guys. But I think the Austrian guy got the Spirit Award for drinking all the spirits.
That's pretty cool. I've seen Florian's name tons of times, but
he's a sandbagger. That's what he is.
But I don't think I've ever met him or seen him.
What division did he play?
I'm only saying that because at the QP Amateur Open, he was in MA4, and I think the week before he'd scored like a 12 under round on the QP Reds or something. So everyone's like, what's he doing in MA4?
He's an Manchester guy, right?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a real good player, to be honest.
When Bowen said everybody was like, what's he doing on this? It wasn't everybody. I can imagine it being one person.
I was all right about it. I wasn't bothered because I knew I weren't going to win. I didn't really care.
Just wanted to say, obviously, going forward, we're going to have you on the show every week. I think it'd be a really good addition because it'll give a different perspective. It'll give that sort of pro side. It'll give a bit more informative view on things. we use the air brackets for pro.
That wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was Josh doing it.
But we'll. I think it'll give a more of an informative sort of look on disc golf, and certainly. I think you're fitting very well with the show. So, I'm really, really pleased to have you on board, Josh. And I know Bowen's similar view as well. So, welcome. I hope that you enjoyed the first show. It felt like it was a lot to cram in. There was a lot to talk about. But, I think we've got some good shows coming up. So, stay tuned for that. The usual.
When are these good shows coming up? Because you always say it and I'm still waiting.
Well, I'm waiting for you to come up with some.
I don't think
you've come up with a single show topic yet. So it's about time you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you guys, you know, let me know, I can come up with some stuff maybe. And maybe my connections in Europe now, we could probably get some people on if, you know, if we want to chat to, you know, whoever. But
the only problem is, Josh, you've got to get the Ayatollah to agree to it, haven't you?
Right, yeah. So on that note, yeah, join In The Chain Shop on Facebook, the group. We've got some really cool discs coming out on there. We've got the In The Chain YouTube channel, obviously the podcast. Make sure you
that's a bit quiet at the moment.
Follow those. Yeah, it's good to have you on, Josh. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, cheers, Josh.
Well, thanks for joining us, Bowen, as well.
I won't bother coming next week.
Yeah. Finally, Josh, he's took the hint. And this time you get to say the catchphrase at the end whilst being part of the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
I thought you was going to forget then.
Thanks for listening to In The Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.